Happy Star Wars Day! We're talking about Star Wars. I like the thing you made for Todd.
I did that real quick right before the show.
It's nice.
I was scrolling through the feed and I saw that he was dead because he got the mark of Hamill, so I force ghosted him.
Now, did you just like paint an edge and then glow it, or did you do like an edge detect, or what is that?
I was like, should I do this in Pixelmator? I was like, nah, I don't want to plug in my Wacom tablet. So I fired up Nuke non-commercial, and I did some hue key error because I tried a key light, but his profile photo compression was not conducive to that for the ranges. So it was a lot of green spill action.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he supports VFX because of the green.
Yes. It's like gathered from the thing. But how are you?
Fine. It's already like 90 degrees in my office because, well, it was 102 today. And now that I have the additional Drobo with all the extra hard drives in it, it constantly stays nice and warm in here all day long. So that's fun.
Okay.
But I'm fine. I'm tired. I'm just working away. Lots of work to do. Work, work. Never stop.
Something need doing.
Sure.
Do you ever play Warcraft?
No, I don't.
Oh. Well, it was the thing.
Was that a Warcraft reference?
Work, work. Something need doing?
Yes. How many crafts could a Warcraft craft if a Warcraft could craft Warcrafts?
That's one of those games that do people still do the thing where they like get really good at it and then they like make a character and then do good and then like sell him on eBay and stuff?
You mean World of Warcraft?
Are there multiple Warcrafts that one should know about?
Oh, Dan, you poor thing. So the thing is, they had in the 90s this game called Warcraft, which was for PC DOS and stuff, and you would click, and it was this top down little thing where you'd like build little cities and stuff, and you'd gather resources. Are you familiar with that sort of a game?
You're talking about like a SimCity kind of thing?
Not really, but you could also say
or like a StarCraft thing.
Yeah, how should I put this? This was before StarCraft. StarCraft came from Warcraft.
Okay.
They were both by Blizzard, and one was orcs and humans and you know, the elves, and they had this stuff. It was mainly just orcs and humans fighting each other. And then there were sequels to this, and then there was StarCraft, and then there was more Warcraft with Warcraft 3, which was 3D but the same kind of game. And then they did World of Warcraft in the mid-2000s.
And these are all sort of from that, like, three-quarter angle in the sky, looking down at tiny little icons of things.
Yes, the previous ones, before World of Warcraft, which is a first-person MMO, RPG. Mm. Massively multi-online role-playing granola.
I was never a fan of those kind of games.
Well, I didn't have the patience for the strategy games. It just seemed like you were just building a city over and over again. It was like, why suffer needlessly through...
I mean, somebody's got to grow up to become a civil engineer, so maybe that's what it's for.
No, but then you got to start over again the next round, and then you got to start over again the next round, and it was annoying. It's just like, give me more city.
People take pleasure in building cities.
Yeah, but if I could build the city the whole entire way through, then sure. But you're not building the same city. You're building cities every single time. But anyway, some friends at work played World of Warcraft, and so that sucked me into playing that. And then one day I realized that I think it was the expansion where they added Outlands and stuff, and it was like a demon world and stuff, and you know, I killed my like I don't know, 50th demon boar, and I was just like, this is just another boar that you just put some spikes on, and I'm just killing it for no reason whatsoever, just collecting carcasses or bones or whatever, and I just couldn't take it anymore. Just was fed up.
Demon, what does a demon boar do?
It bores me because I have to kill so many of them. The thing is, they have these like roaming wildlife quests where it's like, kill X number of things, collect this many things, and some of them are aggressive and some of them are not. Demon boars, turns out, are. And they had the demon vultures and stuff, and they were just reskins of the regular vultures and the regular boars. And, you know, it's just, they just keep repainting the same thing and remaking the same quest, and it's like, bring me 20 heads of whatever, bring me 5 talons of this thing. It's just like, how many of these things do I have to kill? And sometimes you'd kill something, you'd be like, we need buzzard wings, and be like, okay. And then you kill a buzzard, and it'd be like, no wings. And it'd be like, how did this, was it flying a second ago? It had 2 of them. Where did they go? I can see them right now.
Maybe when you shot it down, you like clipped the wing, and then it was damaged, and you couldn't resell it or something.
Oh, yeah. Damaged goods.
That sounds like, what was the appeal of that game at first? Just because other people were doing the thing?
Yeah, you know, you get people from work who are doing it, and you'd get on a voice chat thing similar to what we are doing right now. Spoiler alert, listeners, we are not in the same room. I'm talking to Dan across vast distances using the internet. And with World of Warcraft, you'd have your third-party voice thingy all booted up outside of the actual game because they didn't even have that integrated. And so you had, like, Ventrilo, or Vent, as it was known, and it was basically, like, IRC for Skype, sort of, and you would have your headset on and you'd be talking to them, coordinating what you were going to do on some raid or quest or BS thing. And that's how you did it. And I had a level, I think I got up to level 68. His name was Octagon, and he was a undead warlock.
Okay. How many levels are there?
I don't even know anymore. But they just kept tacking more on to the ends. And I didn't like doing the raid things where you'd get a whole team together and you'd go fight for hours on a weekend. It was like, I don't want to go outside or something. Not necessarily in the sunlight, but just like outside of my house. You know, maybe to the mall. I don't know. Go shopping, grocery store. I don't know. So, it's a colossal waste of time. And I loathe the game to this day, but people still play it. It's not as successful as it was in its heyday, and this is why, of course, they're making the ridiculous movie thing with Mr. Duncan Jones.
Mm-hmm. But getting back to my slightly earlier question, did you sell your level 68 guy and make some sweet coin on that?
No.
Why not? Isn't that a thing people do?
Well, I mean, it's something that people can do, but I didn't really feel like it would be something that I would want to participate in.
I was under the impression that there's like a giant underground black market for selling Warcraft characters. Like you make one, you get them real nice and high, and you sell them off for a bunch of money.
Yeah, and selling gold in game too. There would always be advertisements and spam inside of the little chat scrolly thing that was in there. It's full of shady people who go farming for gold all day and then sell that to impatient people who don't have the time. And that was your pre Candy Crush buying your way ahead kind of a way of doing things.
And what do you do with the gold?
Use it to buy things, Dan. What do you think you did with gold?
I don't know. I mean, they're buying gold with real money. Why can't they just use the real money to buy the things?
No, it's cash for gold, Dan. And so you
do they also sell mediocre coffee?
I think there was actually an in-game coffee trinket thing you could buy, but it didn't do anything. You could buy beer and make your character have like these little animated bubbly distortions and stuff, but it didn't mean anything.
But was it called hashtag where you Warcraft? Whatever.
No.
Where you Warcraft?
No. And it's, you know, that game predated the hashtags.
No, hashtags are a good way to find things.
They are. They are amazing for that because I almost never click on them. to find out more information about a topic being discussed with a hashtag.
Would you like to know more? You said no.
No.
It's a much, much shorter movie.
Yes. Yes. Could you imagine? Right at the very first time?
Would you like to know more? No, I'm good. Thanks.
You wouldn't even be 5 minutes into Starship Troopers. So that was that. That's the thing. Did that satisfy your Warcraft questions, which we got onto for reasons that are escaping me right now?
I guess it. It's still a concept that is so beyond foreign to me that it's completely theoretical. I can't even understand the people that would do this thing. Like it sounds like fiction when people describe this world that sucks them into this just constant gaming nonsense. Like games are supposed to be fun, and none of these things sound fun. So I'm confused by it and partially fascinated.
Well, I mean, drugs are supposed to be fun too, but they still ruin your life.
They're so fun. You spend the whole time doing that, and you ignore all the other things.
See what they do. Is they hook you in by making you have these tiny little goals that you can attain, and they want you to do this thing to get this little thing inside of the game, and you'll be happy once you get that little thing inside of the game. So then you put in a little bit of time to do that, and then there's another thing and another thing and another thing, and it just builds over time, and then all of a sudden you realize you wasted an enormous amount of time on something like that. That's how all these free-to-play games work, you know. The people who play Tsum Tsums or whatever, and the Candy Crushes and all the stuff out there, like that Star Trek Timelines game that I downloaded because people were talking about it when it came out, and I was just like, this is a colossal time suck, because it had like 5 different systems of earning different units which you could buy using real money, and I was just like, this is a bad sign, and the level of its Star Trekiness was not worth the total BS-itude of time suck. So there's that.
Total BS-itude of time suck. That's a good, you should put that in the review in iTunes. Was it an iOS game?
Yeah, it was an iOS game. I mean, you don't play any games at all, do you?
No, I was going to ask you, do you play games? I mean, I stopped playing my, Feed the Cats game a long time ago, mostly just because, you know, I got too far behind and I was too embarrassed to open it back up and see all the hungry cats.
Question.
Go on.
I thought you were saying games should be fun.
No, it is fun. I mean, it's full of adorable cats.
It's fun. You're just feeding virtual cats.
Well, you put out fun little toys for them, and then they play with the toys, and then you can rearrange the toys, and then there's other backyards and stuff that you can decorate. It's fun, you know, but like, after a while, I had accrued enough cat gold gifts, whatever they give you. I think it's like goldfish or silverfish, to purchase all of the toys for the cats. And then at that point, it was just various permutations of the toys, you know, to which ones would bring in the most cats. And that was less fun. Once I had acquired all of the toys, it was less fun. But the quest to acquire the cat toys was amusing.
Okay.
And the cats are cute. You get to name the cats, but then once you have all the cats, you already named them, and it's just like, well, I really missed that one cat. Let me see what I got to put out to get him to come back. But, you know, it's the new and exciting cats where you're like, ooh, this one has a mustache. I'm going to give him a name.
You do realize you just said you don't understand how people could waste their time on something like that. It sounds like fiction, how they could get sucked into something along the lines of
Well, I knew it was dumb, and it took like 5 minutes. You open it up, you go like, oh, refill the cat food and put a new little twirly doodad with a butterfly on it over here, and then you close it back down and you check back in later to see which kind of cats showed up. It wasn't like an active multiple hour event.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I don't play that anymore.
are there other games that you play?
Does Matt Snake Mike Snake count?
That's not a game.
It's kind of a game.
You're painting with your finger.
Yeah. I have a category on my phone called toys. Let's see what's in here.
Is there anything that's not radio safe? Don't read it.
No, that's where I put the games. The original Volcano app is there, Car Planer Boat, Letterpress. One of those stupid apps where you put like funny wigs on people's photos. Flappy Bird, Swing Copters, Monument Valley, Crossy Road, Cat Game, Kung Fury Game, which I don't think I've ever actually played, and then Mad Snake.
Okay.
That is the extent of the gaming one would do on my phone.
Okay. That's fine. So, as we clearly established, neither of us heavy on the gaming.
No. We like to spend our time doing real, valuable, tangible things with our lives, like watching, I don't know, Two Broke Girls on TV or something.
Is that show still on, or are you watching reruns?
Oh, it's still on.
Oh. Well, good for Kat Dennings. I like her, but I think she might be too good for that show.
They're paying her tons of money to just read dumb scripts for a half hour. I'm sure she's fine.
Do they still have that the horse that lives in their backyard in Brooklyn or whatever?
Yeah. Chestnut. The horse is still there.
Hmm.
Actually, you know, there was a while where they gave the horse to a rich person who had like a farm or something, so it could like have a happier life than living on a little patio. But I'm pretty sure the horse is back now, so I don't remember what happened there.
Ratings tanked.
It was all based on the horse.
Speaking of broadcast entertainment, do you want to try to come up with the topic that we sort of said? But yeah, let's talk about that. Which was, you know, TV and stuff, the TV things.
Sure. We can give that a try. Although, yeah. You're going to have to help me because, I totally lied and I didn't read anything.
Oh, yeah. I like when you said, yeah, no problem. I'll be able to be all caught up before we record. And I said, okay.
Yeah. That was before I got this phone call about this thing and stuff. But anyway, what YouTube and Hulu, is that what it was?
Yeah, I mean, just basically the news. They're forming their little over the top service, the OTT, as you have heard me refer to it many times, and you see in all caps every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really cool, and it makes you feel like you've got the lingo down for all of the Hollywood hotshotting and stuff.
It's important to have lingo and acronyms.
Yeah, I think so. Like CPM. And so we have this thing that's happening in New York called the New Fronts, which, according to one article I read, said, yeah, this used to be a bit of a sideshow, but now it's actually turned into something, which is always encouraging. And the thing is, they have all of the weird little channel virtual app things and things that are not really channels, but just sort of a YouTube channel run by multiple people, like those sorts of things that come together in these bizarre conglomerates. And those were presenting. Then Hulu also presented at the same thing. And don't ask me to explain any of those other applications and YouTube channels or whatever. I can't do that. It was just mind-boggling stuff where it's just like, we have a vlog where we cook things that we run. Someday we're gonna do something that's like Survivor, but it's like all vloggers. And it's like, okay, you guys, I'm gonna compartmentalize that into the box of things that are not for me. And but back to the Hulu thing, they did a presentation where they were talking about the number of subscribers they have, which is going through the roof, and they had Alana Glazer and Abby, I can't remember her last name, but the two from Broad City, which is a hilarious show, and they were doing the jokes and stuff, and then Amy Poehler and everything, and it's a big production number about Hulu, and that's because they're expanding into having broadcast and cable caliber skinny bundle stuff that they're going to be putting out. So it's not going to be the weird mutant creature that it was before, where it was owned by all these cable and broadcast interests, but mainly just a hodgepodge of weird things that they would have coming in and out of rotation. Like, I don't know if you are a Hulu Plus subscriber. I am not. But
no.
Yeah, it's worthless if you're not, because you open it up and it's like, we have three episodes of a show you've never seen before, and it's almost over at the end of the season. It's like, okay, so not watching that.
So which one of these services was it I saw mention of actual, like, live TV. I assume that means like live, you just turn it on and there's stuff there, right?
Yes. Well, both Hulu and YouTube. And the YouTube thing is a rumor. It was not an announcement. And the rumor is YouTube's thing is going to be called Unplugged. So you're going to have YouTube, YouTube Red, and YouTube Unplugged. And supposedly Unplugged is going to be their skinny bundle OTT thing, which will be very similar to what Hulu's doing. And that will have live TV as well. And Hulu will have live TV. And Hulu is supposedly working with local broadcasters to try and acquire the stuff for them to have local channels. So, I don't know, Awatuki 7 or whatever you have, it will be one of the channels that'll be on there. And so you can have access to that stuff, which is one of the things that Apple was rumored to have been doing when they were doing the Apple TV in the before times, before we had the fourth generation Apple TV.
The thing that was going to come out in March or whatever.
Yeah.
So and maybe this is preemptive and it didn't actually come out, but is the plan for them to grab existing channels of linear content or to build their own out of all of these other properties? Are they themselves going to decide what goes on the channel, or is it just going to be like, we have Comedy Central, FX, whatever stuff?
They're making arrangements to carry things as channels and also still have the separate episodes like they currently do. Now, YouTube's thing is a little bit more nebulous because it's not really clear what they're going to be doing or how they'll integrate it into the rest of YouTube. Because could you imagine opening up YouTube and it's just like, hey, here's some clip from Jimmy Kimmel. That's the hilarious car thing, lip sync battle thing he did. And then it's like right next to some vlog thing. And then it's like next to an hour of Scandal. And it's just like, okay, so this is totally random. But that seems...
I mean, that's basically what YouTube is now. Like, their whole idea of subscribing to channels and showing up and then the homepage being that sort of newest posts from your various channels, that's what you end up with. You end up with like a 3-minute segment clipped out of a late night show and then like footage of some like 17-year-old person leaning very near the video camera on their MacBook Pro talking about stuff. Like that's what it is.
Yeah, but see, that was the point of my example, because they don't have...
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah, but they don't have the hour-long dramas and stuff mixed in with that, because they don't carry that. They have all the other filler stuff. So once they put in the serious, quote-unquote, TV with the rest of that, then it's just all going to be a big mess of cat videos and random stuff, and I don't know how users will technically sort through it if it's just going to be the power of YouTube algorithms will solve every problem you ever have, or if it's going to be a situation where things will... be presented in a much more channel-like way, where there'll be very linear brand experiences where you can click on a show's page or whatever. I have no idea. It's going to be interesting to see how that pans out, because it's also a rumor, so they might not even announce anything. But it has a name, so that means maybe it'll be announced. It also means, hey, maybe somebody lied about it having a name, so who knows? It seems a little bit more concrete than other things, and they have already launched that subscription service YouTube Red, which is YouTube without the ads. So supposedly,
is that what that is? I thought there was more like original content stuff on there.
Oh yeah, but nobody actually likes that.
Okay.
Not because I have any experience with it, but there appears to be some dissent among people who that was targeted at, where they don't feel like that is worth it, but they feel like losing ads might be worth it. And I can't tell if the number of times the YouTube app on my phone presents me with the ad to join YouTube Red, if that somehow means they are not meeting the conversion ratio that they would like. If a lot of the valuable, you know, 18 to 24 demo is not signing up as expected, if they're content with the ads, I have no idea. But
I think I've only seen that the ad to sign up 2, maybe 3 times. Are you seeing it more frequently than that?
I see it like twice a week. I don't know why that is, but sometimes I open it up and there's a little banner that's across the bottom and it's an ad. And then sometimes I open it up and it's a full page red screen with a little white button that says, you know, let's join now. And there's a little tiny text that says skip. And then I try to, you know, hit the little tiny text that says skip. And then sometimes the video starts playing in the background behind the big red full screen thing, which is cute. I think that that's real, real cute. But it'll be interesting to see how that interfaces with a, you know, skinny bundle environment thing that they roll out. Because if they have that with the other stuff, are you going to be buying those separately? Is it going to be buying Unplugged and buying YouTube Red? And if you buy YouTube Red, they're not going to cut all of the advertisements out of the broadcast TV if they're presenting that live. It's just sort of weird. I'll have to see how they wind up interfacing it into a product. I'm doubting its ability to be a cohesive, wonderful experience.
They should not do any of those things.
Well, what's also interesting is YouTube is still underneath Google, underneath Alphabet, not underneath Alphabet directly. So it's definitely part of Google. And Google has Google Fiber, which is a cable provider in and of itself where you can get TV if you are in one of the areas where Google Fiber operates. It basically like your ISP cable provider company in your local area. That's also interesting because that's separate from whatever this plan thing is for YouTube, which will be
do they manage their own TV bundle, or is that like a partnership with somebody?
They manage their own bundle stuff, but I don't know too much about how comparable it is in each of the markets where Google Fiber operates. But I know you can get things like HBO, etc. with it.
Hmm. Maybe it's I don't know if it's a reflection of my current state of mind, but I find it very difficult to be excited about anything related to TV these days. It seems like everyone and their brother is trying something that is not particularly interesting and is likely going to fail before it even gets off the ground.
I like it, watching what's happening, because it's like a bunch of slow motion car crashes, but with like little clown cars. Because none of these things are like real amazing products, so you're just watching sort of these novelty devices smash into each other. They're all doing different things to try and be the one that sets the business model, takes the biggest share of the pie, whatever. But you know, no one person will wind up with all of the market. And what's interesting about that is you watch them sort of like fight each other over where they'll carry certain things and where certain things will show up. It's fun.
So you're amused by the Game of Thrones-ness of the TV battle?
Yes.
the slow machinations of all of these people to see who's going to win the fight ultimately. But like, it's just, you know, all of these people with their over-the-top service, like the rumors or what they could potentially do, like none of it's particularly novel or interesting. It's just, hey, we're going to try that thing that other people haven't been able to figure out yet, too, and maybe we can figure it out. It's like, well, you probably can't, and if you do, it's probably not going to work out super well.
But if they did. No, but see, that's the fun part, is like you get to imagine what would happen if they did. And you also get the situation where it's not just these people trying to make a product in isolation, where they're just all being dealt evenly the same hand of cards. Like they have to negotiate with the companies that actually have the content, as it were, to have that stuff, to be able to provide that to consumers. And that's one of the sticking points where nobody's really cracked the nut, because you don't want to have an incredibly expensive internet-only TV bundle with tons of weird restrictions. And you don't want to have a bundle that's like super easy to get onto but doesn't have anything in it. So you're watching people try to like tread carefully between those things. And they're all trying something different.
It all seems incredibly futile and just not going to result in anything good. I mean, even the excitement, I think, for, I don't know, at least for me, maybe for you too, around the rumors for the Apple over-the-top service is just the integration with the platform, right? You know, the phones, the Apple TV, all that stuff, the sort of full ecosystem around, you know, where you can get this stuff. But like the reason Hulu or YouTube and all of these things don't excite me at all is it's just like, great, now it's just going to be another like Android-esque thing where we have to try and figure out what devices are going to be able to support it and how you're going to get to it. It's not just like suddenly it's on the thing that you already have. Well, in all likelihood, but you know, it's just that that level of integration is what makes something like this interesting, and all of these other players don't have that. So it's just like, well, good luck with that, but not going to show up on my door, I don't think.
I'm confused. It's not they're not going to show up on your door with a player that they don't sell.
Their stuff's not going to be on my Apple TV. It's not going to be on my phone, likely. I mean, because again, you know, there's the whole Apple subscription nonsense too. But that's just saying, like, who are the people who are offering this thing, and how are they going to get it to me? Let alone start their own thing.
Yeah, well, see, that's part of the problem. But most of these people are providing apps that run on Apple's platforms. With some exceptions, and even, you know, YouTube, which is at YouTube and Hulu, both of the, which we've just talked about, have apps that are on the Apple TV, for example. So in a way, your Apple TV might wind up just being a dumb pipe so you can open up the terrible Hulu app or open up the terrible YouTube app. Like that might be your primary use case for the device. Because right now, I just frankly use my Apple TV mostly as an AirPlay and Netflix box, and that's what it does. And it's like, oh wow, so glad I bought that. So it's not impossible to imagine that would be the case. Also, they haven't exactly sold as many Apple TVs as they have smartphones in the world. So if you can take over the smartphone market, then it follows that you would just buy whatever it is that will hook up to your TV that will play it. So if you're Amazon or if you're Google and you have your app that has integration with whatever device it is that you sell that hooks up to a TV, that you can do that as well. So like YouTube, for example, the YouTube app has integration with the Cast, formerly known as Chromecast, where they can...
Did they rename it?
Yes. Oh, you didn't see that?
No, I didn't miss that.
Yeah, they have a pretty tragic, very Silicon Valley webpage all about the branding. So it's exciting.
Is it just apostrophe Cast?
No, it's just not even. It's just Google Cast, two words.
I'm being grumpy old man, but I'm struggling with this because you know there was a time and place where it would be like, best product wins, where like my phone comes from Apple because it's the best, and then Amazon's got the best bundle of TV junk, so I'm gonna buy their TV thing, and then this over here is from them because they're the best at whatever, music or something. But like, I just don't want to live in that world where everything is like a giant corporation fighting with another corporation to be the one sitting on the little table in my living room to provide X whatever content.
I have some very bad news for you about what is happening in the world around you right now.
Well, no, I get it, but like that's why it's so disinteresting to me. It's just like, you know, I got a Mac, I got an iPhone. Like that's the world I'm living in, and I don't want to change it because like, it was hard enough to like just upgrade to version 4 of Hazel and make sure all of my stuff still works. Like I don't want to switch my phone to a different thing because it integrates better with the stupid box that it's on my TV or something.
Yeah, you know, the last thing you need is Hazel deleting all of your content. no,
I've never had that happen. Anyone who had such a thing happen must not know how to use computers very well.
So, you got your Hazel channel or whatever. No, but the
Hazel channel is just me sitting there describing all of the cool Hazel rules that you can put together to automate your renders.
Yeah, what was that one that you had with a? Oh no, that was Name Mangler that sent you a push notification when your render was done or something, or your batch finished.
Name Mangler has a notification where it'll tell you when your files are done being renamed because there are a lot of files that got renamed.
Uh huh. Okay. So, but anyway, I mean, I understand where you're coming from with you want Apple to have the thing, but they're not really doing anything right now. So,
well, I mean, either that or I want these people to just like play together better, just like a little bit, like, you know, make the consumers happy by like playing nice.
No, Dan, Dan.
I know, it's not good for stock, and that's not how you win the war on whatever.
Yes, Stannis. House of Baratheon.
That's the guy that got referenced in that Kylo Ren outtakes video.
Yes.
Stannis!
I like that.
Amanda explained to me that that's a Game of Thrones character.
Yes. Well, it is. I was about to explain that too, but thank God somebody else beat me to it.
Is he still alive?
I don't even know. I'm not up to speed with whatever's happening in the current one. But to segue back to Apple, Apple doesn't seem to have a clear plan. So even these horrible machinations that the other companies are taking part in will unfold in a way that will inspire Apple, either because they're like, oh, crap, we've totally neglected this, or it'll inspire Apple to be like, oh, hey, that's a cool idea that we could also do, but better. So it's only good that all of these other lesser things exist. And I have to say, you know, having the Fire TV Stick, which I wrote like a 2,700 word thing about, but that's not really a terrible device, and it's $35. And so it fulfills a very specific role. It's not especially pretty or beautiful or lovely, but it can do things that the far more expensive Apple TV can do for not $150. So it's a kind of curious to see that as well. And I wonder if that will also spur Apple on and see if they even care about things, even if it's just making Apple, you know, sweet talk some companies into coming on board in certain ways, or to, quite frankly, have something that's sort of a content forward, or to improve Siri so she doesn't misunderstand almost everything that I say, as opposed to Alexa. I don't know if maybe I just have like the perfect Alexa voice or something, but for whatever reason, Siri and I, we do not get along, and she frequently thinks that I'm saying things that I am not. So on the Apple TV, where the most convenient way of finding anything is to use your voice, to say what it is, what you want, what you really, really want. And that doesn't really help me a whole ton, but it works fine on Alexa.
No, Siri is a disaster right now. I feel like it got better for a while, and then it just got worse. Like, there are times where there's something that I would love to ask Siri, but like I don't even bother because I know it's just not going to get it. It's either like not a feature that exists currently in Siri, or it's just going to misunderstand me. So I don't bother doing it.
Yeah, I mean it's just your normal despondency bleeding through into everything.
Well, no, it's one of those things. Like, I was listening to it. I think the example that the most recent one was, I was listening to a song that's like, man, what year did this come out? And I want to, like, the song that's playing, I want to just go, like, you know, Ahoy Telephone, what year did this album come out? Because that's just, that metadata is sitting right there in the list of stuff if you just look at it with your eyeballs. But I can almost guarantee that Siri is not programmed to do that, and that is really annoying to me. Like, just those sorts of things that you would think, like, how much harder is that to add that to the things that Siri is capable of doing? Probably not too hard, but no, it's not gonna do that.
Yeah, it's not a rich, amazing experience. And like you're saying, it's nice when everything works together, which might be why I have a tablet, a Fire Stick, and now a Kindle. So
when you get in your Fire Phone, you get them for like a dollar these days, right?
I don't even know. I don't even think they work. I don't even know if they're doing like software updates or what their plan is for that. But suffice it to say,
well, I hear you shouldn't update your software on your iPhone anyway because that just breaks stuff.
You got to close all your apps.
That happened the other day. My dad finally did like a, I don't know, iOS, whatever we're on, 9.3 update or something. And he's like, none of my text messages work anymore because I got to put in all my iCloud passwords again. And I don't remember what they were. I'm like, we wrote this down on a sticky note for you, so you could just look in one place. Like, I know, but I had to change it because it told me to. I'm like, oh my God. So you are one of the people who should not be updating because apparently it breaks everything because you can't remember your one password for the device.
Yeah, relatives, what are you going to do? Which is actually another problem with these devices and these services is I'm not sure I, like, even once the broadcast stuff is out for Hulu and once the broadcast stuff is out, you know, once they have YouTube unplugged, that once that, once that stuff is available, I don't know if I'm going to go to any relative and be like, hey, totally buy something that can do this because you will love it forever and you won't have any problems, because I don't really see that happening, and I don't really want to answer phone calls from someone in Florida right now about, you know, why their TV doesn't work.
Does it get the Food Channel and Afternoon Divorce Court? Then we're good to go.
Well, I need Food Network, I need the Cooking Channel, and I need HGTV, because right now you can't do without Cooking Channel, which isn't included on most lower tier packages. It's usually on the mm-hmm. higher tier ones because, you know, there's a spring baking championship that's going on right now, and you gotta see who's gonna win that. It's important.
Also, I think DIY is another one of those ones. For some reason, is
oh no, I just don't care about DIY at all. If
well,
I
there's
could...
some good stuff on DIY.
No, it's like extreme confrontation at Home Depot to redo your bathroom. Does nothing for me.
That Man is my favorite of all of those shows. The Bath Crashers is the best one, and I love Bath Crashers.
What about the Kitchen Crashers and the I don't know, Foyer Crashers and the
Kitchen Crashers? That's what's her name? It starts with a V, I think. Anyway, she's less fun, but she's good at stuff, I guess. The Yard Crashers, they changed to a new guy. I don't like the Yard Crashers guy. The House Crashers is still that super excitable guy that's wide-eyed all the time and shouts at everything. He reminds me of the guy that used to build people new houses and stuff. Anyway, yeah, Homes on Homes is great, too. That's awesome.
I can't stand it. So many Canadian accents.
Yeah, well, you know.
Sorry, Canada. Sorry, Marco.
Mike Holmes is awesome. Wait, you say sorry, Marco?
Yeah.
Oh, that Marco.
Yeah, Marco Savick.
New York is not in Canada.
No, close enough. No, I was talking about Marco Savick. But yeah, so sorry. We can talk about the cabinets and what that's all a boot later. But
don't mock your friend. And you guys still do that other thing?
he's busy. Anyway, back to our tech podcast, which we have somehow started in the middle of our movie podcast, movie/media podcast.
We can talk about visual effects pipeline stuff if you want.
Sure, let's talk about Nuke 10. Aren't you amazed at all the bugs they didn't fix?
No, that one. What was that one bug where it like had like a half spelled word where it wouldn't create my comps? Like that thing is totally still there and just refuses to work. But the old method of exporting dynamically linked comps for your timeline still works. The hero method, which has been there since Nuke 8 or something, that works, but the new one is like totally broken now. I don't know what the hell they did.
Well, you know what they say, I need a hero. It's the end of the night.
Yeah,
gotta be strong, gotta be fast,
but
freshman fight. it's a song.
Yeah, song.
I like the Jennifer Saunders version of it that she did for the Shrek 2. Speaking of DreamWorks.
Oh, right. Okay, so I found the error. Tuple index out of range.
Oh, tuple.
Tuple? Is that a thing?
I think it's tuple.
Tuple?
I don't know.
T-U-P-L-E? Is that a word that means something?
Yes.
Relevant to comps?
It's a way of storing things. A tuple is like an array, but it's not. It's different.
It's a
tuple. I think it's because it's two things, but I think it's actually like three because they like include zeros or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Tuple, noun, computing, a data structure consisting of multiple parts in a relational database, an ordered set of data constituting a record. That's okay.
Yeah. See, sure. A tuple is like an array for some things or a dictionary, but it costs less memory or something. So they use that sometimes, and they use it a lot in Python. And so
well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
By the way, move ups in the chat says it's effectively an anonymous array. So that means it's an array without like registers for what's in what spot?
I don't know. Anyway, I have no idea how the Foundry is using it and what part of it is failing in their code that they wrote for you.
Well, the index is out of range, apparently.
I don't use Nuke Studio or Hero because I don't need a Hero.
I find it baffling that
gotta be fast.
Yeah.
Yes.
I find it baffling that I do my editing in Avid because I'm a sane human being, because Avid should be where you edit things because it's the best editing platform. And then I take that to Nuke Studio to do my my Conformant online. And then I use, well, I occasionally try to use Resolve to do color correction because it's got a great tool set, which is still very annoying to use from time to time. And I do my effects in Nuke and stuff. But then in order to actually finish my project, when I am ready to be done with it, it has to go back into Final Cut Pro 7 because it's the only thing that is able to deal with QuickTime in a way that utilizes the wrappers, so it doesn't have to recompress every frame, and it's quick to make final changes. And it's I feel like an animal. I'm using incredibly old software, and it's the only thing that like has support for like audio that I can do stuff with, and quick changes I can make, and cuts and stuff here. Like, you know, Nuke Studio is still just, I can't put a fade, well, I probably can now in Nuke Studio 10, but I can't use it for audio finishing. Anytime I export anything out of Nuke Studio, it takes five times as long because it, by default, recompresses all frames, and the gamma is wrong usually. It's just like, what in God's name is going on with this incredibly expensive application that I can't use this for finishing stuff?
Maybe you need a webinar or an online course. Linda or Tech TV Pro or something, IT Pro, IT TV Pro, one of those. I don't know which one. Which one's the one we're using now? I don't actually use any of those things because I only have one little job on the pipeline that does the one little thing. And that's it, and it's broken. So whatever.
Yeah. It's just I have to write this down at some point and put this in like a blog post or whatever, because it's so circuitous to get from A to B to C in my post pipeline that, like, I swear either I'm just a crazy person and I don't know what I'm doing, or things are still like super broken and insane and somebody needs to do something to, like, you know, just put all these tools together to like finish a project. But I use almost every application on my computer on every single project, whether like it really warrants it or not, just because it is the simplest and fastest way to get from an edit to a finished product. And it's nuts.
Okay.
I can't stand it.
Okie dokie.
It would be a lot better if I didn't hate Premiere and After Effects and Audition. Is that their audio thing?
Yeah. I use Audition when I edit the podcast, and you use Soundtrack Pro, right? When you
I would use Logic if it didn't cost $300 again.
Yeah, and I would use Logic if I felt like some sort of certainty in it or something. But there are certain things about it that just kind of make me apprehensive. But Audition is suitably buggy, so, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other. Audition's fine, but I'm used to the way that Premiere works, which is not, you know, the way that more Apple-y tools work, and I'm given to understand not the way that Avid works at all remotely, although I've never used Avid because I just don't really like do that at all. So
no, Avid is still obscure black magic, but it is the best way to do anything involving actual editing. Like, you know, all of the integration and stuff in the Creative Cloud apps are wonderful, how you can send stuff to After Effects and it'll dynamically relink back to it automatically and all that fun jazz. That's super interesting, and Avid totally doesn't really do that kind of stuff. It's very much a walled garden, but for just straight editing, there's nothing faster and more efficient than Avid, which that's just, I want to get in and out of Avid as fast as I possibly can, and then I take my AAF file, which is insane that that's still how we're transmitting things back and forth, XML files basically from app to app to just rebuild from one to the other, but whatever.
At least again, it's portable.
Again, I'm talking about companies. Play nice, guys. Like, you know, integrate stuff. Like the new, it's currently in beta, will be out soon eventually. The new version of Resolve, since they also bought Fusion, is going to have the ability, because it's got an editing timeline, it's had it for a version or two, it's going to have the ability to send a shot straight to Fusion, and then once you render it, it pops right back into your Resolve timeline, which is kind of the promise of Nuke Studio. But I mean, Nuke Studio still sucks for editing and video and audio and all fun crap like that. But like, that's the kind of integration that would be super great for a lot of other people to do. And I'm sure that kind of stuff is doable if you're on like a large facility like where you work, where you can actually have some people who know how to program stuff, like put together some custom tools. But like, why can't somebody smart do that and then let me buy a plugin that hooks the two together?
Maybe no one's doing what you're doing.
There's no way people aren't doing what I'm doing.
I don't know. I like I said, I can't speak to it because I don't do it at all. So there might be also a ton of people who are doing things exactly the way that you're doing them, but they're just writing their own custom stuff themselves, or they're working at a facility where they write the stuff and then they can't release it because they wrote it for the facility. I am mainly just disappointed that Nuke has several long-standing bugs that they haven't fixed yet with Spline Warp and with various tools that they have in their pipeline that just are just so not right. And like switching from the curve editor back to the node graph, we'll change the viewer that's hooked up in the viewer panel. So, I mean...
Oh, yeah, they changed that. It's different now. It's like... It like tries to hold and freeze itself longer, so sometimes you gotta like poke the viewer and be like, "Hey, wake up! We're back over on that other thing now." And it's like, "Oh, sure. We didn't want to change prematurely, but now we're there."
Oh well, you never want to change prematurely.
But most of my complaints are just like, you know, a lack of integration, but like on the whole start to finish, like there are steps from start to finish that are just so incredibly painful to move from one to the other, and it drives me nuts.
A person in the chat room has just suggested that you use Flame.
Oh, sure, I'll get right on that.
How do you feel about buying a Flame box? Do they still go for $25,000 or whatever?
I think you can buy a turnkey system for somewhere between 30 and 60 or something. But you can get the software sort of standalone now for still like way too much, like $15,000-$20,000.
Oh, is that all? Is that on the Mac App Store?
Yeah, no, I don't think it is.
workflows. So that really wraps it up.
I enjoy
up,
workflows.
Doesn't it?
I enjoy automating things.
You do. You do use automation for lots of things. I feel like, you know, that XKCD thing with the graph where it's like amount of time the task takes you versus the amount of time it takes you to automate the task.
I have absolutely made my time back on a lot of these things, I swear.
Yeah. See, it's not like that for me, because I'll have one thing that really bothers me, and I'll put a ton of effort into it, and then I've solved it. I've solved that problem, and then I don't really get as much out of it as I should have. Like, I wrote a blogging, static blogging website thing, and it's fine. It's not especially glamorous. I think I probably could have saved myself a lot of stress by not doing it at all, but I did it on the pretense of learning something. And so that's important, is that each of these workflows that you make, you learn something. And so that hopefully helps you go on to make your workflows a little bit better and a little bit brighter every single time.
That was way too motivational for you.
I'm just trying to end on a happy, positive note, since we just crapped all over television and how television is made. So, yeah.
They should work on their Python.
Yeah.
Learn a thing or two.
Mm-hmm. Is that a euphemism?
Maybe.
Mm.
Gross.
Yep.
All right, let's wrap this thing up.
Adios.
Oh, that's that other show does that.